Om Shanti. So this topic of sleep, I chose it for two reasons. One, because I think it's possibly of personal benefit to all of us to understand sleep a little bit better. Because if we understand what's going on when we go to sleep, and we understand a little bit about what gets in the way of going to sleep, then hopefully we can manage our sleep better. The second reason is that, I don't know about your centers, but certainly in the center that I come from, and I suppose I should introduce myself, and I will perhaps in a minute, but I come from the UK, well, the place I live is not actually in the UK, but it's simpler to describe it as part of the UK. It's an island, in fact, called the Isle of Man, and it's right in the middle of the Irish Sea. And I think it's quite representative of the kinds of people that go to all the centres in the UK, and probably many of those in Europe as well. I'm not so sure about Asia, you can maybe tell me, but we have a lot of people who come to our center, and one of the major problems that they have is not being able to sleep, in what we call insomnia. And I found over the years that, of course, meditation and the kind of atmosphere that we create, or that Baba creates in the center, is very conducive for people. And often they'll come to a course and they'll attend the first session, for example, and then they'll come back the week later and they'll say, when I left last time, I just went home and I slept better than I've slept for years. Do any of you have that kind of feedback from your courses? Yeah. So, as I say, it's certainly a big problem in Europe. And as all the negative things that tend to happen in Europe tend to gradually make their way over to Asia as well, I would imagine that it's something that will be an increasing problem in other places too. And certainly in the big cities, I'm sure that the problems are much the same. So I have a bit of a roadmap this morning. Oh, I think perhaps I better just introduce myself first. So my name is Joanna, and my background and how I found out quite a bit about sleep is that I'm a lecturer in psychology, and I work at we only have one college in the Isle of Man because it's a place of only 85,000 population on this island. So we have one college. And prior to that, I actually came into Gyan in Hong Kong. And that was quite a while ago, about over 25 years ago. And I was also lecturing there at what was in those days, the City Polytechnic. And one of the areas that I've taught is sleep and biorhythms, that kind of area. And in fact, when I first came into Gyan, I was, you know, I'd been studying psychology for years and years. I did a degree and a postgraduate and spent many years studying psychology. But I found that there were lots of, and there still are, lots and lots of questions that were really up in the air, let's say. So the study, psychology is really the study of human mind and behavior. But in fact, there were so many unanswered questions, and this was really my experience when I first did the Raja Yoga meditation course, that a lot of the questions that I'd had about psychology were in fact answered when I found out about the soul. Because although psychology is the term, the word psychology actually comes from the Greek psyche logos, which means study of the soul. But if any of you have ever studied psychology, you'll know that it's gone a very, very long way from studying the soul. And it's all about, you know, the brain. But there is just so many missing pieces. And one of those missing pieces that I came across was that nobody ever seemed to be able to fully answer the question of why it is that we need to go to sleep. You think it would be fairly straightforward that we need to go to sleep to rest the brain, rest the body. But there's no one theory that's really answered all the questions about why it is that we need to become completely unconscious in the way that we do every night. So that's a little bit about my background. And I'll just, here is a sort of roadmap of the things that I'd like to cover. It's probably a bit ambitious, but I thought I'd put up too much rather than too little. So, first question is to go into what I just mentioned, and that is, why do we need to sleep? You know, we spend an awful lot of time, during our lives sleeping. And, you know, you think, well, is it a bit of a waste of time? And I think many people have that question. Why is it that we spend so much of our life in bed asleep when we could be doing things? Secondly, what happens when we go to sleep? I don't know whether you know what happens when you go to sleep, but it's quite an amazing thing. So when I found out about it, I was quite interested by what happens, the whole process, the whole sleep process. And how long do we need to sleep for? That's always a big question. There's no real answer to it, but, you know, we can maybe just explore some of the ideas behind that. And a little bit about dreaming, functions of dreaming. And finally, tips to improve sleep. So why is it that we need to go to sleep in the first place? Well, as I said, in psychology, they were always asking this question. And it was only when I found out that we are all eternal souls, that we come from a place that is beyond sound, beyond matter, that is very, very, very silent, and there is absolutely no stimulation in the soul world. And we all come from there, right? We all come from there. And here we are now. We're in these sort of meaty suits that we all inhabit. And what happens to us when we're not sleeping is that we're engaged in an awful lot of activity. We are exposed to an awful lot of noise. And generally, life is very different here to what it is in the soul world. Would you agree with that? Yeah, so my conclusion, and actually it was only really when I first started coming to Murli that I got some of these answers, because you probably remember from the Murli every so often that Baba says, when we go to sleep, the soul is actually able to disconnect from the consciousness of the body. Now, when you think about it, obviously we're engaged in that task of disengaging ourselves from the consciousness of the body or becoming soul conscious. You know, it's in the back of our mind, and of course we really try to practice that as much as we can. But for many of, you know, for most of us, and also for everybody else in the world, you know, that only happens now and again. And so sleep is really the mechanism that enables souls to get a complete break from all the sensory stimulation that people experience in this physical world. And of course, because souls have become so engrossed in the drama, and you know, I also have that problem. Sometimes we find it difficult to actually disconnect. And so sleep, so when we go to sleep, is the time that, well, for most people, that's the only time that the soul has an opportunity to disconnect from all the sensory stimulation. So you can imagine if you cannot do that, which of course, when people have insomnia, that is exactly what happens, is that they find it really, really difficult to go to sleep. And it can really become quite disturbing because the soul never gets a break. You know, the soul never gets a break from all the sensory stimulation of this world. So obviously the body needs to rest, and that's another reason why we sleep. But of course, the unanswered question is, in psychology, is why it is that we have to lose consciousness. And of course, when we understand the soul and also that we need to disconnect from stimulation, the only way that we can do that fully is to actually lose consciousness. And of course, animals also sleep. And it doesn't make sense in terms of some of the theories of psychology, you know, like evolutionary theory. They have this question. It's so dangerous for animals to completely lose consciousness like that. And most animals do, the majority do. I think there's only dolphins or you know, one or two species that don't fully lose consciousness when they go to sleep. So that's the reason why we need to sleep. Well, these are just some of the ideas that that I've picked up anyway along the way. Now, what happens when we go to sleep? What happens when we go to sleep? It's a very, very extraordinary, very extraordinary thing. I had a feeling I was going to have problems with this. Yes, please. Can't really do both. Okay, let's just clean that up. We'll just go one at a time, I think, and that's going to be the easiest thing to do. I think it should be okay now, hopefully. So, what happens when we go to sleep? Well, first of all, everything starts to get really quiet. So our brain waves slow down, and of course we begin to relax, and we kind of descend this ladder of into the subconscious, the unconscious, I would say. And this is the sort of first stage where we are just beginning to lose consciousness. And at the very beginning of the night, so this is a sort of a map of what happens to our consciousness as we go through the night. And at the very beginning of the night, the first thing that we do is we go into this very deep sleep, which is called slow wave sleep. So the brain waves are very quiet, are very slow, and not a lot of activity in the brain when we go into this slow wave sleep. Now, it's in this kind of sleep, this slow wave sleep, and we only go into this kind of sleep for about 2 hours a night. And if people sleepwalk, anyone sleepwalk here or had an experience, often as children we sleepwalk. Anyone sleepwalk? As children? Not many. Yeah, when you were a child. Because it's often the case, children are much more likely to do this, but adults do as well. It's in this time that we do all of that. And also something called night terrors, where people have an experience. It's not the same as nightmares, where we're actually dreaming something and, you know, maybe a monster's coming after us. But there is just this sense of terror and fear. And some people just move about in their sleep and make, you know, noises. And it obviously disrupts their experience of sleep because it's not very pleasant. Now, just my sort of churning on that is that this is the point when we go into this slow wave sleep, the soul really, really does disconnect from the consciousness of the body very deeply. And I feel that, you know, sometimes when we're using a computer or something, and we've got a memory stick, and we've used our memory stick on our laptop, and then we've taken it back to the main computer, and we've got to kind of update it to make sure that it's all kind of synchronized. And I wonder that when we go into this slow wave sleep, whether we kind of just really touch base with ourselves, you know, beyond all the restraints, because at the moment we're still quite trapped in one lifetime. You know, we spin the cycle of self-realization, and we have experiences, we have feelings, and some of you may even have had visions. I hope you're not hooked onto your visions, but sometimes we've had experiences of our past lives. But often it's just a sense of it, and most of the time we're still quite trapped in this particular lifetime. So I think when we go into this very slow wave sleep, we have this opportunity to really connect with our entire self. And of course, some of our sanskars may be, you know, we may have brought experiences from past births, which are still quite unsettled in the soul. And this can emerge in the form of what I mentioned before, night terrors, and also sleepwalking. Now, once we come out of that, after a certain period of time, we come up. And this is quite a strange thing, because the brain then becomes extremely active. So we go from very, very slow brain waves, and then suddenly the brain becomes very active, and it's almost as active as it is when we are in a waking consciousness. And this is and if you wake somebody up during this period, you'll often find that they are reporting that they're dreaming. And you may have heard about this, but if you've watched anybody sleeping, and often you can see this particularly with animals. We used to have a dog in my family, and when it went to sleep, it would kind of twitch a lot, and you could see its eyes moving dramatically. Has anyone seen that with pets particularly? Yeah, so this is REM sleep, rapid eye, and it stands for rapid eye movement. So you wake somebody up and usually they'll tell you about their dream. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. But this whole part here is about 90 minutes. So this is what's called a sleep cycle. So we go through, well, however long it is that you spend asleep, you go through several 90-minute cycles of sleep. And so you find often, you know, those times where you wake up in the middle of the night. And I've looked at this in myself, and I found that it's nearly always, you know, if I know roughly when I went to sleep, it's nearly always either 90 minutes or 1 hour and a half, that's 1 hour and a half, or 3 hours, or 4.5 hours. You know, that's the sleep cycle. So we come back up to, slightly back up to waking consciousness there, and it's very likely that you might just wake up and, you know, do the things that we normally do when we wake up in the middle of the night. As we go through the night, we dream more and more. And this slow wave sleep is only at the very beginning. It's like the soul needs that. It needs the break. So it takes the break straight away. And then for the rest of the night, we're kind of, we're dreaming and, you know, occasionally going down into lack of activity. But the brain actually is quite active for quite a lot of the time that we're sleeping, which is why the theories about the fact that it rests the brain is a question mark, because actually the brain is not resting an awful lot when we're asleep. So it's not really an answer to why it is that we sleep. Right, I just need to find my roadmap now. And I'll come to talking a bit more about dreaming, because that's quite important. The other thing I just want to mention is that there is a real connection between sleep and meditation. Obviously, they're both different kinds of consciousness, but biologically there are some similarities. And you may have heard of a hormone called melatonin. So melatonin is something that that the brain starts to secrete as it's getting ready for sleep, and it's connected to regulating the whole sleep cycle. And it also also has this property of regulating our sleep cycle. But when it responds very much to darkness. So as it becomes darker, we start to secrete more and more melatonin. Now, what they found in research with meditation is that if some of the very positive, and these are things that you can share in your centers, that when people meditate for 20 minutes to half an hour in the evening, they find that people have higher levels of melatonin. Meditation and sleep, we're talking about a very similar kind of biology, because of course when we go to sleep, the soul is able to leave the consciousness of the body. So it kind of makes sense that when we meditate, we're going to be having a very similar kind of physiological effect. So that's quite interesting, just to be aware of, is this connection with melatonin. It's also, the other thing that's very interesting is that the part of the body, or the part of the brain rather, that secretes melatonin is the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is right in the center of the brain. And in many traditions, it is connected to the third eye. From my sort of just exploration of the topic, it seems to be a kind of an interface of the soul with the brain. And melatonin is very much connected to all of that. So the pineal gland, and the other interesting thing is that the pineal gland is very large in children, but once we hit puberty, it begins to shrink. And it would be a very interesting, bit of a rather gruesome project, but it would be interesting to see that if people who meditate, if you did a post-mortem, for example, on somebody who meditates, whether you would find that their pineal gland is much larger than people who don't. So something just to ponder about. Okay, so how long do we need to sleep for? Any thoughts about this? How long do you think we need to sleep for? Sorry? 4 hours. Yes? 6 hours? 8 hours? 4 hours? Okay, so there's a lot of variation, isn't there, in terms of this idea, this question of how long is it that we need to sleep. And, of course, research in this area is very mixed. You've probably all heard the idea that we should sleep for 8 hours. And that's one of the things that's often put across, that everyone should sleep for 8 hours. But of course there are lots of examples of people who sleep very little. I know someone who all her life, she's not a meditator, but she only sleeps 4 to 5 hours a night. And Nelson Mandela, he didn't sleep that much. He only used to sleep 5 or 6 hours. Margaret Thatcher. There are quite famous people who are known for the fact that they slept very little, and yet they still manage to get an awful lot done during the day. Research also, as I said, it's very mixed, but there is some research which says that people who sleep too much, in other words, and they quantified that by being maybe 7 hours, over 7 hours, 7 or 8 hours, or over that, actually live less. They don't live as long as people who sleep less. So that's good news. Baba says that he increases our lifespan, so that's another area where you might see that as an example. And I think the answer is that, you know, for each of us, we can tell how we're feeling after we've been asleep. And sometimes sleep can be a real escape, and it can be a bit like food. You know, the more you eat, the more you want. And that's certainly the case, that sometimes we might use sleep as a bit of an escape. There may be things in our life that we're not facing, maybe we don't want to face, and so sometimes just going to sleep is a great way of not dealing with it, but also it is something that just gives us a bit of a break. So I think everyone just has to find their own, it's just experimenting and knowing what is right for me. Because sometimes some people can manage very well, and we might look at them, you know, they're up for Amritvela and they're all fresh, and then they don't go to sleep after Amritvela, and then they go the whole day and they still seem to be okay. But for other people, you know, they just, that just doesn't work for them, and they need to maybe rest after Amrit Vela, or they need to find the time where they can catch up enough to sleep properly and to feel rested. So there is no answer to that question of how long do we need to sleep for. Functions of dreaming is the next area that I wanted to talk about. Because again, I think we have to revisit the soul and understand the soul. Now, I just want to draw a bit of a diagram here, just to understand what's going on really when we dream. Because we've got the conscious mind, and then we've got the subconscious mind. Now, during the day, we're all very busy and we're involved in all the things that are going on around us. We've all got lots of tasks to do. And so, I mean, if we were really soul conscious all the time, I think probably we would just process everything as we go along, and we would only pay attention to the things that are really necessary. But as it is, when we get pulled into busyness, often we get very engrossed in things, and I feel that's really the value of traffic control, and I'm sure you've all had this experience where you've been really engrossed in something, and then the traffic control music will come on, or, you know, some people have their own personal reminders. And the first response is, I know I have this sometimes, the first response is, oh no, I'm just really into this and I just want to get it finished, and here's traffic control coming on. Almost like, you know, what a drag. How inconvenient it is that traffic control should come on now. But of course, what happens then is that we get an opportunity to disengage from whatever it is that we're working on. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes find when I disengage and I have a bit of meditation, then other insights crop up. I mean, the first insight might be, I spent far too long doing this task, and actually there's something else that I really need to do that's more important. Have you ever had that experience? And so, you know, I think, oh, I'm going to leave this and I'm going to get on with actually what I should be doing, because I've just got pulled into this and this is actually not really the best use of my time. So traffic control, I think, really, really helps if we use it wisely, because sometimes we just almost ignore it. You know, we kind of stop physically, but our brain is still engaged in whatever it is that we're working on. Now, I really believe that if we were soul conscious, then we probably wouldn't need to dream an awful lot. I actually find in Madhavan I don't dream hardly. I can't remember a single dream since I've been here. I mean, I don't sleep that much here either, but I don't find that I dream much. Whereas when I'm in my usual situation, I dream a lot. And when I wake up, I usually have some memory of dream. I mean, we all dream. That is 100% certain. I know there are people who don't ever remember their dreams, and that's the case. But it doesn't mean to say that you haven't dreamt. You haven't been dreaming. It's often we don't remember our dreams because we are in a different state of consciousness when we're asleep. And so when we wake up, we move quite quickly into, you know, everyday consciousness, depending on, you know, how you wake up. And of course, we forget then. We forget what we dreamt about because it's such a different state of consciousness that it just doesn't, you know, it just disappears very quickly. So what's happening is that the conscious mind is dealing with whatever it is that we have to deal with. But we are faced with huge amounts of information at every moment. You know, and sometimes when you just stop and listen, can't hear too much in this room, but often when you stop and listen, you find that there are all kinds of different things going on. And of course, I haven't actually been aware of it because I've been focusing on, you know, listening to a talk, for example. And so we don't pay attention to all the extraneous, you know, other stuff around us because it's not very useful. And so we just keep focused on one particular thing. But sometimes it may be something useful. You know, it may be that Bubba's trying to give us a touching about something and we're far too busy. You know, we're far too busy with our service tasks. And sometimes he might be kind of knocking on the door of our consciousness and maybe we're not listening. And, you know, maybe there's other stuff. But of course it does actually, everything I think, you know, we say that the soul records everything that we pay attention to, and I'm sure it records all sorts of other stuff going on other levels of consciousness, because, you know, we're quite focused on the physical level, but of course there's all sorts of other stuff going on, and when we're in relationship with other people, there's all kinds of things going on, isn't there? There's sort of, we're picking up their vibrations, and we're tuning into atmospheres and all those kinds of things. So, you know, we're picking up information not just on a physical level. But it may not necessarily be conscious, you know. So information is often, coming in to our conscious mind, but maybe not, you know, maybe we're not, it's maybe not coming into our conscious mind in the sense that it may just go straight into our subconscious. Now, what happens when we go to sleep is that it's like a trap door, in the sense that the trap door to the unconscious opens. And when we're asleep, the mind is functioning, but the intellect is not, which is why our dreams sometimes are rather difficult to understand, because there's an awful lot of stuff in this basement of our unconscious, and we don't have any filtering mechanism when we're asleep. So all this stuff comes up into our conscious mind. And we just kind of, Valerienne was talking about surfing, and I think that's really pretty much what we do during a dream as well, that we just kind of surf through it. And when we wake up, sometimes we try to make sense of it. And sometimes my experience is that some kinds of dreaming is literally me or I, the soul, and my brain, trying to just sort of sift through all the stuff that's gone on during the day and kind of throw things up and almost to say, well, was that important? And most of it was not. Most of the stuff that comes up in your dreams is not, appears anyway, not to be terribly important. although sometimes there are things in dreams can come up as symbols, and just by looking at them, we can sometimes understand feelings that maybe we've had and we're having about things, but perhaps we haven't consciously acknowledged those feelings. And sometimes they'll come up in a dream in some form or another. You know, if I'm feeling a bit apprehensive about something and I haven't really acknowledged that, then I might have a dream where, you know, for example, if I was nervous about giving a talk, and I might have a dream that I'm standing giving a talk and I don't have any clothes on, for example. You know, a sort of feeling of vulnerability, complete vulnerability. And so, you know, there's a sense that, oh, there's quite a lot of fear and a feeling of being exposed that's associated with this particular area. I mean, I think as Brahmins, we do a lot of this processing anyway, but a lot of other people don't, because they literally use their everyday life as a means to distract themselves from their anxieties and their fears. And this is quite useful to share with people who are having problems sleeping. Just this thing of traffic control, you know, I mean, not traffic control literally, but stopping every so often through the day just to touch base with myself. You know, how am I feeling about this? Do I have any anxieties? Because, of course, If I just distract myself throughout the whole day, then when I do go to sleep, when I do try to go to sleep, all those, you know, because there's no stimulation going on, all of those anxieties will crop up at that time. Or what a lot of people experience is that they go to sleep, fine, you know, they go to sleep, and then they wake up. And I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard this over and over again. They say, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah? Anyone ever heard that before? I find this very, very common. People wake up at four, and they say, you know, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Which actually is a great selling point for Amrit Vela. because you can relieve their anxiety. You can say, well, actually, I'm up at that time anyway. And it's a really, really good time to meditate. Because a lot of the anxiety about sleeping is about, you know, a lot of the anxiety is about, not so much about the things that keep people awake, which is one aspect of it. But then the next anxiety that's created is of not sleeping. You know, how am I going to function? What's going to happen if I can't go to sleep? All those kinds of things. So I think, you know, you can help people relieve their anxiety by saying, you know, first of all, this thing that meditation is, biologically, there are lots of similarities between meditation and sleep. So if you can't sleep, why not try meditating, or the best thing I usually tell people is to listen to a commentary, because then the brain, because actually when we meditate, I find you know, when we connect with Shiv Baba, it's quite stimulating actually. I find, you know, energizing. So sometimes telling people, you know, if they've done the course, for example, to meditate, you know, in terms of connecting with Shiv Baba, can be maybe not quite the right thing. But a commentary is often very relaxing, and the brain isn't having to do any work. It's just listening. And there are some commentaries that I use that I'll mention at the end that I find particularly good for going to sleep. And I think it's important that people keep the commentaries that they use for going to sleep separate to the ones that they use for meditation. Otherwise, you know, we all know what's going to happen when they put on their commentaries. Anyway, just to go back to this and dreaming. So one aspect of dreaming is just literally trying to sort out all the stuff that's gone on during the day. And as I said before, I think the more that we become soul conscious, probably the less we'll dream, and the less that we'll need to sleep. Brahma Baba didn't sleep that much. He's another good example. I think this, all this dreaming is really mostly just trying to work things out. But of course, there are other dreams that people have, because the soul is disconnected from the body, from the consciousness of the body. Sometimes the soul can kind of fast forward. You know, some people have precognition, what they call precognition, where they dream something that's going to happen in advance. Anyone ever had a dream like that? Yeah, quite a few. So because you're not constrained by all the limitations of being in this, you know, meat suit and having to function through these senses, it means that the soul is very free. And of course, sometimes when people meditate, they have experiences like that too. So the soul can kind of fast forward in the drama and just get a sense of something that's coming up. And sometimes people have inspirations. And usually that's, again, because we're so busy engaged in the physical world during the daytime. And that doesn't always leave people any space to have a real different take on something. And there's quite a few examples of solutions to things that people have dreamed, that have come up in their sleep. And, you know, sometimes there's that expression in English, well, let me sleep on it. And sometimes that can be good, because the soul is able to free itself from all the bondages of the body. And so sometimes it gives that space for inspirations to happen. So that's a little bit about dreaming. I mean, dreaming is a big topic, and so I'm not going to say much more than that. I just have one story which I'd like to share with you. And that's a story about the centre. We used to have a centre in Jersey, which is another island, another small island, at the south of the UK. And Helen, who, this is many years ago, Helen, who looked after the centre at that time, she had somebody phone her up. And the person said, hello, who are you and what's this, who am I phoning? And so Helen said, oh, well, this is the Raja Yoga Center. And she said, well, you know, how come you didn't know who you were phoning? And she said, well, actually, I dreamed this number. This number came up in my dream. And so she'd acted on that. And who knows, you know, how did that happen? Possibly it was something like, you know, she'd maybe seen an advertisement for the centre, but been too busy, and maybe it hadn't been relevant at the time, but maybe it had gone into the subconscious mind and had been accessed at a time where it became useful. You know, it came up in her dream when it was useful to her. Or maybe it was some kind of touching, you know, from Baba or you know, whatever. So sometimes it's just quite a nice example of how when the soul is given that space, it's able to have an inspiration or to find something that's really useful and meaningful to it. Okay, the last point, the last bit, is, I thought I could just put this down for a minute. So the last thing, because I think we're supposed to stop at 12, but I do want to give you a chance for questions, so I'll just run through this quickly. Okay, stimulation. So this is to improve the quality of sleep. What do we need to pay attention to? And there's lots of this stuff on the internet, you know, advice as to how to improve the quality of your sleep. Mobile phones, computers, having conversations late at night, well, not late at night, but before you go to sleep. We don't have so much trouble with televisions, but this is something that you can point out to people who come to your centers, is that all of those kinds of things are very stimulating. All these things that give out electromagnetic frequencies, like especially mobile phones, they are known to reduce the levels of melatonin. So physiologically, it affects you. But also psychologically, too much stimulation, particularly before you go to sleep. So the recommendation is that switch off your mobile phone, or any phone, because I know I've had the experience where somebody's phoned me up and I've got very kind of animated. You know, you're pleased to talk to somebody and then can't get to sleep after that. So, and, you know, televisions definitely. All of those kinds of things, switch them off at least 1 hour before you go to sleep. Is that possible? And don't have any of those things in your bedroom. Your bedroom should only be the sleeping. No computers. Switch off your mobile phone, and if you use it for an alarm, get an alarm clock. Because they give off all this radiation, and this affects our pineal gland. You know, it affects our secretion of melatonin. So it has an effect, you know, absolutely, definitely. All this Wi-Fi and, you know, all these signals going everywhere, it's actually very stimulating. So the more that you can do to reduce stimulation, the better, particularly from things of electromagnetic frequency. Bubba always, the second point, letting go. Bubba always tells us to let go of our day, doesn't he? He says, go through the day and just tell me all about what you've been up to and, you know, the things that have gone well and the things that have not gone so well. You know, really get it off your chest at the end of the day. And this is also backed up by psychology in that, you know, where we don't process our anxieties, then when we go to sleep, these things are going to disturb our sleep. So really being able to let go is very important. And, you know, we have a system for that. So, you know, let's use it. I sometimes do it and then sometimes I forget. I completely forget to do it. So it's good reminder for me as well. Third point is eating and drinking. I'm sure, again, this is maybe something you can tell people at your center, because none of us indulge in this, but alcohol, some people think that it's good to have a drink before to get themselves to sleep. But actually, it's well known that alcohol, although it appears to send you to sleep, actually it disturbs the quality of sleep. So, you know, this is something that you can tell people, that it's not good to drink alcohol. I mean, we know it's not that good. It's not good to drink alcohol anyway, but, you know, it just helps people, I think, to have another reason for giving it up. There are certain foods that contain tryptophan, foods and drinks that contain tryptophan. Tryptophan is an amino acid, and it gets converted into serotonin, which you may have heard of. It's a neurotransmitter, and it's kind of associated with happiness and things like that. And that gets converted, you know, I'm not a biologist, so it's a bit vague, but anyway, that's all I know about it, that it gets converted into melatonin. Okay, so all those things are very connected. So there are some foods and drinks, you know, like the idea of having warm milk before you go to sleep. There is a biology behind that. Okay, so sometimes people are not aware of that. If it doesn't bother you, you know, it's fine to drink caffeine. If, you know, some people can sleep no matter what, so you know that's fine. But if you have trouble, that's something to look at. Exercise, the sister Sujata, that's right, yeah. She was talking about exercise and also breathing exercises, which of course are very good, you know, because sometimes we have trouble getting to sleep and sometimes we have trouble staying awake. And I think she had a lot of good ideas in terms of staying awake, breathing exercises and so on. But just one little point about that is that not to exercise too late. So if you want to go to sleep, and, you know, for example, if you want to take an afternoon rest, it's better to sleep first and then go for your walk afterwards. And same in the evening, you know, exercising too late in the evening just stimulates your system, and so it's not really a very good idea. Preparation. They say that the moment that we're born, we're preparing for death. And it's also the same for sleep. The moment we wake up, we're actually preparing for going to sleep. Because, you know, everything that we do through the day is going to affect our quality of sleep. So just this thing of being able to process, stop for a little moment, and process what's been going on through the day is really valuable. You know, traffic control, whatever you'd like to call it, where we just stop and we touch base with ourselves. How am I feeling? You know, I'm okay. Am I okay about this? Is there anything bothering me? Is there anything that I really need to talk to Baba about? So I need to have that awareness through the day, because if I'm just busy through the day and then I sort of give a quick good night to Baba at the end, often I haven't really dealt with my thoughts and feelings. So be aware that I need to prepare myself, you know, look at what I'm eating, drinking, look at my general lifestyle, because if I have trouble in sleeping, there's no doubt that it has a very severe impact on our Brahmin lives. And I know it can also create a lot of anxiety. So we need to just keep that at the back of our minds. So I'm going to stop there. And I know I've overrun, but I do just want to see if anyone's got any questions. Yes. Do we have a microphone? Oh yeah, maybe this one.
Nishanti, sister. Nice talk. I have a question. Do you have any technique to control the sleep? I want to sleep at the moment I want, and I don't want to sleep at the time I don't want, because it takes 1 to 2 hours to close my eyes, even though I got onto my bed. And then, especially frankly speaking, I don't want to sleep during meditation or classes, and at that time my eyes are so heavy, I'm closing. This is one. And my second question is, I used to get dreams, like I fall from the staircase. It often appears. Usually it comes, and it's just for five minutes.
Sorry? Fall from?
Me?
Sorry, what did you say?
Fall from staircase.
Oh, staircase. Staircase. Okay.
Yeah. And then I wake up startled, and I sleep back. Mm-hmm. But the dream stays only for 2 to 5 minutes. So why do these things come often, again and again, the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the things that, wanting to sleep when we want to sleep, I think we'd all like to be able to do that. And my only answer is really what we've covered in the talk, is that we just need to look for ourselves and look at our lifestyle. And in terms of staying awake, again, I think it's worth trying the breathing exercises. You know, I think we have to put a bit of research into it. And we do have to kind of do something to wake us up. And maybe breathing exercises would be worth exploring. So the sister, Sujata, she's at Global Hospital. And she's, I don't know whether you were there for her talk, but she's available for consultation. And, you know, you could maybe tell her your problems of falling asleep. Now, in terms of reoccurring dreams, I'm not really an expert on, I should have said this at the beginning. I'm not really an expert on sleep. I've just picked up things. And, you know, I think there's an awful lot. Because sleep, you know, we're so kind of at the mercy of our unconscious and our subconscious. And of course, we don't know what's been going on in past lives. And so inevitably, these things do come up when we're asleep. All kinds of things can come up. And who knows, and often there aren't any answers to them. But I think one of the things with all these types of things, you know, like sleepwalking, and is that generally they do pass. You know, generally they do, as we begin to shift our awareness, and you know, I think we just have to be very patient, really, with ourselves and all our. You know, we have these bodies are just such a nuisance, aren't they? Half the time, you know, they really are such a nuisance, and they just get in the way of being spiritual. But that's the whole point, isn't it? We're in these bodies, and we've got to learn how to make them function properly. And the only way is to become more soul conscious while we're in them. So we have to be very patient with ourselves, and just keep on, just carry on doing our meditation and really just working on ourselves. So I'm sorry, it's not much of an answer, but that's the best I can do. Anybody else got a question? Yes. Do you want to? Yeah. Yeah, just so it's recorded. Oh, I think you have to turn it on.
Okay, again, my name is Sudhir. I'm from USA, Seattle. I have a question for the sister. Do you think our pineal gland has anything to do with our sleeping pattern? Like sometimes you want to sleep and you avoid it or you delay it. You I don't want to sleep. Maybe I can I can keep myself busy. And so is this a good habit? Or pineal gland has to do anything with the pattern?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, there's always, for everything relating to us, sometimes there are just pure biological explanations. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's not as simple as that, because it's karma, and it's to do with, obviously, the way our body functions has to do with our consciousness, or, you know, the patterns that we've built up even before we came into Gyan. You know, often we've developed patterns that we're trying to undo most of our Brahmin life, you know, with greater and lesser success. So it's possible that, you know, there are people who have problems with their pineal gland. Sometimes it's secreting too much melatonin, for example, and that's what gives rise to this this winter depression that people have, because you've got too much, and so they call it a SAD, you know, SAD, seasonal affective depression, and that's connected to melatonin as well. So melatonin isn't just a sort of good thing, but it does regulate our sleep patterns and our biological rhythms generally. So it's quite, you know, they didn't actually know what it was used for. They thought it was just some redundant thing in the center of our brains, and it's only quite recently that they found out that it's got all these different functions which are really necessary. So yes, it's possible. It can be a bit of both. Any other questions? Okay. So should we just finish with a few minutes meditation?